The SBS Cycling Podcast is brought to you by Tanara.
Bonjour, bonjour, bonjour. Welcome to the SBS Cycling Podcast. We are literally roadside on the finish today. Maka, you're with me again. What a finish. What a day, what a stage.
Yeah, it was a great stage. And the finale always lent itself to be an exciting finish. And can I just be a little bit smug?
You can. Absolutely.
Am I allowed to?
You know what? You deserve it. I give you a big pat on the back.
I mean, yeah.
It's
on record. I'm pretty happy with myself. The coffee of clarity. I called it that Ben Healy would win the stage. But gee, did he not just win? He destroyed these breakaway companions, including Michael Storer, Quinn Simmons, who were chasing in the end. Yeah, we know he's good, but wow, that was impressive. Yeah.
So he's stage six, I should say, stage six of this Tour de France, of course. Ben Healy, what got you to pick him? Because he's such a peculiar rider, but that was such a peculiar stage today.
Yeah.
Is it 1+1=2?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, probably of all the teams and the opportunistic teams, I would have said, okay, EF are going to have all hands on deck to make the breakaway today. So I knew they'd have one there. And I presumed, because of the finale, they need someone who can climb reasonably well at the end. So then I said, okay, Healy. And Healy's an aggressive type of rider.
Yeah.
He looks for the opportune moves. So, yeah, I gave him, you know, a pretty good chance. And then there was a few others from other teams as well. And even Michael Storer was on my radar initially, but I thought, no. But, in the end, look, you could have thrown a blanket over 50 riders to win. On days like today, they're really hard to tip because, especially if you think it's going to be a break, sometimes it doesn't happen. The peloton, the GC guys sort of close it up at the end. So, yeah, it was an interesting day all in all.
And a fantastic pick, absolutely, Ben Healy. That's not the first time he does something like this.
Yeah.
We used to... the Tour de France is prone to racers like this. This is what, you know, we call the panache. We had, of course, I have to mention it, Julien Alaphilippe, but we had Thomas de Gendt before. There's been a lot of these riders that they pick the stage, and on that stage they just absolutely hammer everybody else. Nobody else can win the stage when they are on that mindset, and Ben Healy is a little bit like this.
Well, I'll tell you what the impressive part was when he went and he was sitting at 20-30 seconds initially, and then Storer and Quinn Simmons jumped the group, which included Yates, Vanderpool, like quality breakaway. And they were at 50 seconds at that point. And then I thought, okay, this is game on. Michael has got a big chance here, especially with Quinn Simmons. And they were going. You could see they were wrestling with their bikes, but you know, putting everything into it. Healy just kept taking time on them. And on an undulating, he went 40 kilometres to go in warm weather. It was a 30-degree day today.
And he's Irish. It's not like he's coming from a country that is big and known for the sunshine.
Yeah, so it was... No. And like you say, you've got to be on super days to win a stage of the Tour de France. Mm-hmm. You don't. There's no gifts at a race like this. No gifts in any big bike race, but in particular the Tour de France. So Healy was on an absolute blinder.
Let's talk about Quinn Simmons as well, because he's here to entertain. He's here to light up this Tour de France. He said it, not my words, his own words. Mm. Actually, let's listen to Quinn Simmons.
I don't know if today was entertaining, but if it wasn't, I don't know if bike racing can be, no?
Is there a sense of kind of achievement after that? I mean, second is your best ever Tour result. You seem disappointed.
Of course I'm disappointed. You don't race for second. Tomorrow we'll wake up and no one will even know I was second here. You know, a stage win in this race can change your life. Second place can't.
Does it give you confidence to keep chasing it?
Of course we keep going. It's 3 weeks. And you know, historically, you know, I don't want to say for sure and jinx myself, but I typically get better in the second and third week when everyone's a bit more tired. So I hope we time the fitness right, and that's what happens again here. And you either have the legs or you don't. It's going to come pretty clear. And today Healy had the best legs and I had the second best legs.
So that was Quinn Simmons. We can hear it. He says you don't race the Tour de France for being second. This is not the what he would have wanted today. You're Quinn Simmons. How does he feel today? Because wonderful performance, absolutely stunning performance today, but yet again he's second. And he did drop Michael Storer in the last climb as well.
I think you got to cop this one on the chin, because Healy again was streaks ahead. No one was going to beat Ben Healy. Like, it wasn't just tactics. You could say, oh, Healy jumped and we missed it when he moved. But then they had the chance and they had enough time to bring him back. They were at 50 seconds and they just actually weren't strong enough.
Yeah.
So I think if he doesn't sleep easy, he should, Quinn Simmons.
Yeah.
And so too should Michael, because the best guy won today, 100%.
Let's talk about Michael Stoer as well. We want him to have a stage win at this Tour de France. A stage win for Michael Stoer would mean the world, because he's performed super well at the Vuelta. He's got a couple of stages there, King of the Mountain at the Vuelta. But the Tour de France is something a little bit different.
Yeah, it is. No, this will put him in another stratosphere. And he's knocked on the door today. It won't be the last time he knocks on the door. He'll present himself, I'm sure, at some point over the course of the next 2 weeks, two and a bit weeks. It was an opportunity that went missing today, but again, the best rider won. So he should be really happy with where he's at, where his form's at. And obviously I chatted with him when he crossed the line and he seemed pretty content.
Okay, now let's talk about the yellow jersey. The yellow jersey is not on the shoulders of Tadej Pogacar anymore. By my calculation, not just my calculation, but Tadej Pogacar said it at the finish, 1 second. Mathieu Van Der Poel is back on yellow for 1 second.
That is, I can confirm that.
I've heard it from Tadej Pogacar himself.
Yeah.
1 second is pretty tight, because remember, they were equal a few days ago, 0 second, and they had to give the yellow jersey to Mathieu Van Der Poel on the placement. So it's pretty tight at the top of this Tour de France.
Well, it's pretty amazing, because he actually would have liked to have given it to Van Der Poel for more seconds. He doesn't want to hold the yellow now for quite some time.
He said after, oh, you got it for 1 second, you was like, whoo, that was close.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yes, exactly. I'm not sure how long it's going to last, because the next stage is Mer de Bretagne.
Yeah.
Van Der Poel has won there as well. So, interesting. But Pog would be happy with that. I think he wanted to relinquish yellow today. You know, it's that doing post-stage protocol when you win a jersey, or you're in a jersey, it's at an extra hour to your day. So he wants to minimise that where he can. Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, we take a short break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about the Aussies at the Tour de France on Stage 6. Don't go away.
Tanara is Australia's leading alternative asset investment firm. From venture capital and private equity to public markets and credit, we proudly partner with business founders and companies to help them grow their businesses and create value for investors. Led by John Wiley, former chair of the Australian Sports Commission, our team brings deep experience and a shared passion for Australian sport and cycling.
Welcome back to the SBS Cycling Podcast. Let's talk about Aussies now at the Tour de France. And we have to start, we already spoke about Michael Stoer, but when I say Aussies, okay, let's talk about Ben O'Connor. This is really who we want to talk about today.
Yes.
Difficult day, he lost a minute 20 again. What more can we say where we are at for Ben?
He's bleeding time, unfortunately. And
how much is too much?
Well, it's getting into that realm now. So he in general classification, in fact, you're right, he lost a minute 20 to the yellow jersey group, the Pog group. And in fact, Jack Haig was ahead of him today. So I'll just scan down quickly. So O'Connor sits in 21st place. He's at 5 minutes and 30, and Jack Haig, in fact, is in 20th place. So the two top Australians, 20th and 21st. It's not done for Ben O'Connor. I'm always an ever-optimist, but it's not done. It's not great. He can't afford to be bleeding any more time now, not on days like this, with the guys that he wants to fight for, say, top five. So he'll be frustrated, he'll be annoyed. And after yesterday's TT, he sounded upbeat in his post-race interview, which was really good signs.
And we were praising him in the sense that this is not bad. If we look at the data, it's not bad.
We all thought he'd turn the corner in terms of the crash on stage one. Spoke to the press officer this morning. So she said the same. She said, we're feeling upbeat. And then he loses a bit more time. So he's rolling with the punches. That's what you got to do sometimes. You got to pick yourself up off the canvas every day. So he's got to back up again tomorrow. But the signs aren't great, which is not good.
This is the thing. The signs are not looking great. This is a
you know, he needs to bounce back, but let's hope he does.
Yep.
Luke Plapp, I think you had a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, had a chat to Plappy and Jack Haig, actually. Yeah. So, and just briefly on Jack Haig before we get into Plappy. Jack Haig's trying to look after Santiago Buitrago, but also he's out of contract. He said that. For next year. So he said, I'm looking for a contract as well. So he said, I'm trying to balance both, you know, looking after my teammates and, you know, doing a decent ride himself.
Yeah, also fill up the CV a bit.
Yeah, and he's put in a couple of good rides, Jack, over the last couple of days. So that's pleasing for him. On to Plappy. He actually enjoyed today. He said it was a bit more of a day. He actually said it feels like the Tour de France has now calmed down a bit for the first time. Not too many riders have said that. So Plappy actually felt and sounded really calm and relaxed and recovered. So that was good signs for him.
Okay. There's also some sprinters that we need to talk about today, because the sprinters, I'm not going to say they gave up pretty quickly, but they sort of had it a lot easier today, because it was going to be, and I say easier, inverted comma.
I was going to say, if any sprinters are listening, they might put an amount on your head.
But we can say that basically it wasn't a day for them, absolutely. And by the way, the ex-French Prime Minister is just walking past. She's on the right.
Was she popular, Prime Minister?
Like every Prime Minister, you're popular when you start, and then a few weeks after, you're not.
What year are we talking?
2 years
digressing,
ago.
We're going into politics.
She was a Prime Minister under Emmanuel Macron. So she's just walking past.
Okay.
This is what we bring you in this podcast as well. We are literally side of the road, and then we can see like the Prime Minister.
I might give her a wave. I'll give her a wave.
Let's give her away. Bonjour, Madame Bo.
TV Australie.
So voilà. We had a little wave from the French Prime Minister. It's fantastic.
There you go.
I'm blushing. You can't see I'm blushing. Anyway, back to cycling. What was I doing? Sprinters. They didn't have an easy day.
They had a hard day.
But instead of having, there was definitely not a day for them.
No. And I mean, 140 kilometres to go, more, 150, they were dropped and they never got back. So they had to ride to make time cut.
Yeah.
All of them. So that would have been a tough day. Yeah, they would have. They had a decent group with them in the end.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're the days where, you know, they're not mountainous days. You're on the pedals.
Do you calculate the time cut? Someone calculating time cut for you, but
Your second or third car that's following, like, obviously they're the back of the race, they are calculating it every kilometre.
Yeah, okay.
100%. Yeah, and Mark Renshaw has talked about this with us previously. You know, you're when he was looking after Cav at the tour last year and the year before, you know, every little bump in the road, he's telling them, okay, 4% here for 300 metres, down the other side, get back on the pedals, you've got a 1 kilometre descent. So that's how it would have been with the sprinters teams. They would have been saying, guys, you're tracking well or you're not tracking well, you've got to lift the speed. They would have had a tough day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we can hear the cheers.
You can hear Ben Healy.
Yeah.
The cheers for Benini walking past.
Big smile on his face.
And he's with the other Irish, Dan Martin.
Ah, of course. Good.
And Dan Martin was very similar to Benini.
I tell you what, if they walk past
yeah,
here,
we can just have a picture.
We'll try and get Dan Martin at least. Yeah,
absolutely.
We'll try.
Before we talk about what's happening on the stage tomorrow, anything else you want to mention today?
No, I think all in all, Vingegaard was hot on the wheel of Pogacar, so status quo there, status quo with the main GC guys. But it was I still think it was a pretty tough stage for a lot of riders because of the heat, because of the accumulation of, you know, 6 days of racing now. We've got our skates on, haven't we? Tour de France has got its skates on. We are rocketing along.
And again, if you haven't listened to the beginning of this podcast, I don't know how you would be listening to this part, but Monsieur Dave McKenzie picked the winner on a day like this, which absolutely
doesn't happen often.
Amazing. Well, that was amazing enough to celebrate. Okay, stage 7 is upon us at the Tour de France. It's one of these names, if I wrote it out of my lips, is Mur de Bretagne. We start from Saint-Malo, beautiful coastal place in Brittany. This is absolutely a stunning place of cycling. And this Mur de Bretagne, everyone that counts in cycling has won. And Mur de Bretagne, pretty much.
Including Cadel Evans.
Including Cadel.
When he won the
Tour.
That's
what I meant.
I know. Well, it just came to my mind, of course. The great man himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
So great memories here, and of that Matthew Van Der Poel that we mentioned. So, yeah, look, I'm 50-50 on this one, whether a break can survive the day or the GC guys will actually race it a lot harder.
Do you know we are now
all listening to your words, you know, like the Messiah. And who's going to win?
And as we keep saying, you know, who's keep mentioning, we've got a tipping comp. So now I'm a little bit, you know, keep the powder dry, so to speak. Look, my gut feeling says GC okay. Day. That's my gut feeling.
Is it somewhere Pogacar wants to get the yellow back?
I don't think he wants
to. For win 19 and 101?
Yeah. No, I don't think he wants to necessarily, but he might do by default.
Okay.
He might do.
What a curse.
Yeah, I know.
Got the yellow jersey back.
So, yeah, look, it's really hard. It's really hard to say. I mean, just looking quickly at the data once again, 197 kilometres. It's only 2,100 of climbing. It's no slouch, but today was 3.5 to give you a comparison.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost the same distance. So it's a lot less climbing tomorrow.
But
I'm really undecided whether or not the break can win the day. We'll see.
That or he keeps his tip for himself. You take it.
That's what I'm actually doing. I'm just trying to throw you all out.
Anyway, thank you, Maka. Literally, we were, again, side of the road. You can hear the barriers being dismantled. Next thing will be us being kicked out. So we're going to have to say goodbye here. Thank you for tuning in. And, of course, every stroke of the pedal of the Tour de France is on SBS On Demand, is on SBS. So why don't you tune in? Because the Tour de France is just simply amazing. Until the next podcast, is bye for now.
The SBS Cycling Podcast was brought to you by Tanara.